announcing their arrivals, looked her up and down, and then, in the manner of one who had been coached carefully all afternoon for this very moment, bellowed, Mysterious and beautiful stranger! Silence spread out from the bottom of the steps like spilled paint. 500 heads turned to look at Magrat. A day before, even the mere thought of having 500 people staring at her would have melted Magrat like butter in a furnace. But now, she stared back, smiled, and raised her chin haughtily. Her fan snapped open like a gunshot. The mysterious and beautiful stranger, daughter of Simplicity Garlic, granddaughter of Araminta Garlic, her self-possession churning so strongly that it was crystallizing out on the sides of her personality, stepped out. A moment later, another guest stalked past the butler. The butler hesitated. Something about the figure worried him. It kept going in and out of focus. He wasn't entirely certain if there was anyone else there at all. Then his common sense, which had temporarily gone and hidden behind something, took over. After all, it was Samdi Nui Mor. People were supposed to dress up and look weird. You were allowed to see people like that.
Excuse me, sir, he said. Who shall I say it is?
I'm here incognito.
The butler was sure nothing had been said, but he was also certain that he had heard the words.
Fine, he mumbled.
Go on in, then.
He brightened.
Damn good mask, sir.
He watched the dark figure walk down the steps and leaned against a pillar. Well, that was about it. He pulled a handkerchief out from his pocket, removed his powdered wig and wiped his brow. He felt as though he'd just had a narrow escape. And what was even worse was that he didn't know from what. He looked cautiously around and then sidled into the anteroom and took up a position behind a velvet curtain where he could enjoy a quiet roll-up. He nearly swallowed it when another figure loped silently up the red carpet. It was dressed like a pirate that had just raided a ship, carrying black leather goods for the discerning customer. One eye had a patch over it, the other gleamed like a malevolent emerald. And no one that big ought to be able to walk that quietly. The butler stuck the dog end behind his ear.
"Excuse me, my lord," he said, running after the man and touching him firmly yet respectfully on the arm. "I shall need to see your ticket.
The man transferred his gaze to the hand on his arm. The butler let go hurriedly.
"Row! Your ticket."
The man opened his mouth and hissed.
"Of course," said the butler,
backing away with the efficient speed of someone who certainly isn't being paid enough to face a needle-toothed maniac in black leather.
"I expect you're one of the Duke's friends, yes?"
"Row!
No problem, no problem, but Sir has forgotten Sir's mask."
"Row!"
The butler waved frantically to a side table piled high with masks.
"The Duke requested that everyone here is masked," said the butler. I wonder if Sir would find something here to his liking?"
"There's always a few of them," he thought to himself. "It says mask in big curly letters on the invite, in gold yet. But there's always a few buggers who thinks it means it's from someone called Maskew." This one was quite likely looting towns when he should have been learning to read. The greasy man stared at the masks. All the good ones had been taken by earlier arrivals, but that didn't seem to dismay him. He pointed.
"Want that one," he said.
Very good choice, my lord. Allow me to help you on..."
The man glared at him, then dropped the mask over his head and squinted out through an eyehole at a mirror. Damn odd, the butler thought. I mean, it's not the kind of mask the men choose. They go for skulls and birds and bulls and stuff like that, not cats. The odd thing was that the mask had just been a pretty ginger cat head when it was on the table. On its wearer, it was still a cat head, only a lot more so, and somehow slightly more feline and a lot nastier than it should have been.
"Always wanted to be ginger," said the man.
"On you, it looks good, sir," trilled the butler.
The cat-headed man turned his head this way and that, clearly in love with what he was seeing. Grebo yowled softly and happily to himself and ambled into the mall. He wanted something to eat, someone to fight, and then, well, he'd have to see. For wolves and pigs and bears, think